Hey everyone, welcome back to the Contextual Insurgent Project. This is your host, Aaron Smith. Yeah, so I had some good podcasts out the last couple days here. Two big interviews. I had some more interviews today. They're a little bit, unfortunately, some of the ones I could do had to be off the record, but they were pretty interesting. I spoke to a legionnaire, someone, a British man from the Legion. I also spoke to a journalist here in Lviv who is heading back to Kyiv. The other day I also had a brief talk to someone who unfortunately couldn't do the actual interview with her. She had to get back on the road. Her English wasn't super great, so it's one of those things more of like I needed to actually talk to her. We had needed to take a break and occasionally and sit down and Google the words she wanted to say. So it was kind of, if I recorded it and repeated it, it would be kind of a disjointed interview. So, we had a good talk with her. She's an economist who's going back to, she's already back in Kyiv. She sent her daughter to Germany. She's on the way back. She's actually already back in Kyiv already. I spoke to her here before she left. But yeah, today, let me start from the top. So today's my, wrapping up my last day here in Ukraine. I'm leaving tomorrow with a group of American journalists. We've got a vehicle. We're crossing the border and going back to Warsaw. So there was a, if you're following me on Twitter or Facebook, you probably saw some of the funeral stuff that I talked about today. They had a funeral at the Garrison Church here in Lviv. It was a funeral mass. They had four soldiers they were laying to rest. It was moving. I don't really know what else to put it. It was really something else, you know. Their family was here. The whole building was packed. The sidewalks were packed with people. I have some clips. It was during the funeral. They actually had an air raid siren in the middle of it, and they also had an air raid siren in the procession at the end of the funeral. And no one ran or hid. People stayed. The church is beautiful, and the service was just heartbreaking. I mean, guys, this is a real war, okay? This is a real thing, you know. And I talked to one. This is where I actually talked to one of the legionaries. This is a British guy who was here for the service. What happened was, there's been a lot of talk lately about what's going on with the Legion, what happened in Yavoriv, and I'm not in Ukraine. I'm not going to talk about sensitive stuff while I'm still here. The legionnaire that I spoke to was actually, he had tons of good things to say about the Ukrainian soldiers. They're tremendous fighters. They have lots of heart, lots of courage. The issue that's really kind of happening, and there's been some talk about the issues that are happening with the Legion. From what I understand, speaking with him, they are getting gear. It's kind of mixed or matched. The biggest thing really is, you know, even if you have trained soldiers and they're trained to the same standard, there takes a little bit of work to get them working together where they all know and trust each other. They have to train and operate together. Even if they're well-trained people and they know what they're doing, you still have to practice. They still have to work together. So you have to get those repetitions in. And the issue with, you know, they had people from probably half a dozen nationalities in his unit. So even if you've got a bunch of experienced, well-trained soldiers, when you're dealing with people from different nationalities, they're all trained different. Different expectations, different TTPs, stuff like that. So there was kind of, you know, a bunch of good motivated guys, but they were all kind of playing on different sheets of music about what to do. And plus too, you know, the whole thing is, I mean, they're foreigners, you know, so going to be a little bit different expectation of what you can do with them and how you... You know, what they're expendable or not like that. May not get kind of sucking hand tits, so to speak, it sounds like. But he was very, like, the guy was a true believer in what's happening here. He is just, you know, the people that I've talked to, some of them are going home. Like, there's been reports of that. There's been a lot of fake news about that, too. Lots of people shit posting on the internet. And there's been, but there is a big grain of truth to that. A lot of the people that are leaving, some of them are leaving, some of them are staying, but they're just kind of working their way into different types of organizations and different units. There is some gear that they're missing that they really need that's hamstringing them. They're trying to get a hold of that stuff and work around it. Again, I'm not going to talk about specifics on that because I'm still here. I'll talk more when I get out of the country. But yeah, he was, you know, it was him and a guy with him. They were, they had their gear with them. They didn't have any guns with them, but they had a lot of their regular gear and were in the process of, you know, staying and fighting, but kind of readapting what they were doing. Of course, there also is some truth to the whole thing of the Redditor-type people coming. You know, they're not necessarily complete shit posters like on the internet. There was some of that in the very beginning. They're trying to crack down on that a little bit. They have so many volunteers. They're trying to be kind of picky about who comes. But yeah, there was an issue with a lot of people who didn't know what the hell they were doing, had no backgrounds or training, were just making shit up, showing up here, winding up on the front lines, getting themselves killed, getting lots of other people killed. So they're trying to adapt to that. Again, you know, the war started and they're trying to adapt as they go along. You know, the funeral was probably about an hour and a half. Four soldiers. It was just really heartbreaking. It was just an absolutely beautiful service. The whole place was packed. The sidewalks were packed. It was, you know, if you follow me, you've seen photos of the church. You've probably seen some photos of the service. I felt a little weird taking pictures of it. I tried to be respectful. But there was just a scrum of journalists in there, too. It was just packed with journos in there filming and taking pictures. And I guess I was one of them for a little bit, but I did try to be a little bit more circumspect and respectful about everything. It was truly moving. I was moved to tears at one point. I did actually speak to a journalist here, an actual Ukrainian journalist who was visiting, and he's going back to Kyiv. He was talking about a lot of the stuff, the humanitarian stuff that's happening over there is pretty bad. Again, there was a little bit of a, a little bit of a language barrier. But yeah, he was very, you know, that's the big consistent thing I've been hearing here is people are very motivated. People are sticking up for their country, sticking up for their nation, their people here. You know, there was some talk in the beginning. It's really kind of interesting because the Ukrainians, you know, maybe 8 years ago when all of this started, they didn't have a very consistent, cohesive identity, national identity the way they do now. Ironically, of all things, Putin seems to have forced a cohesive identity on the Ukrainians in a way that, you know, was the opposite of what he intended. You hear, basically, when you call someone, you hear the Slava Ukraini, which is the glory to Ukraine. That's like the phone answer. People answer the phones here now. That's basically how they answer them. That's kind of pretty much how they greet people on the streets. Also went to... It was really kind of moving. You probably saw, go check out my Twitter. I'll have some more photos and explanations on that on my Substack in a day or two. Let me get back to Warsaw. The woman I spoke with, Svetlana, she's an economist from Kyiv. This is the one who had some trouble with language, and it wouldn't make a really good interview. But yeah, she's from Kyiv. Really heartbreaking interview with her. Incredibly kind, sweet person. She was sending her daughter to Germany, and she went back to Kyiv to check on her family and check on her stuff. And I think that's a lot. That's what kind of infuriates me when people say that this is not a real, people try to claim this isn't a real conflict, because I'm seeing it everywhere around me. People are, you know, it's still heartbreaking. People are keeping their spirits up. And it is really inspiring to watch happen, but at the same time, you know, there are heartbreaking things happening. People that are, you know, dealing with a lot of stuff. We haven't had anything happen here in Lviv. We've had, you know, there's been airstrikes in the vicinity, in Yavoriv that happened the other day. But the city itself has been pretty safe. I hope it stays that way. I know there was some talk on Twitter today that, you know, there may be inching towards some sort of consensus on a ceasefire. And for the sake of the people here in the city and Ukraine, I hope they do find something like that. And this is, you know, it's a messy conflict. It really is. it's a real conflict. It's really heartbreaking. You know, it seemed like the Russians thought they could be greeted as liberators. You know, they and now it seems like they're going into smash city mode, and that's pretty fucking heartbreaking to hear the stories. Yevgeny, the person I interviewed a few days ago, he messaged me earlier. He's okay. He couldn't talk long, but he's going to come back to me and fill me in later on what's happening. He's back in Kharkiv already. Svetlana is in Kyiv. Yeah, you know, and I'm going to keep touch with these people. I'm going to let y'all know what happens to them. And, you know, everywhere I go, it's like people are incredibly thankful. People are so thankful about what's happening, like the stuff that Americans are doing to help, the things we're bringing over here, medical supplies, armor, whatever you've got. They're incredibly grateful for every bit of it, and they're incredibly kind people. You know, it seems like this country's really pulled together, and it's really kind of inspiring thing to see. Okay, well, it's almost curfew time here, so I'm going to go upstairs and lay down and go to sleep, because we're catching, we've got some cars taking us out of here tomorrow all the way to Warsaw. I will keep y'all updated. I will write something tomorrow. I wanted to come give you an update on what's going on here, and that's where we stand, really. You know, I would suggest not coming over here to fight right now. They have plenty of people. It's more about sending gear. They need less bodies and they need gear. So that's really kind of the hang up right now. They got people showing up, and even if they're solid people, like I said, you know, even if you have a solid background, you're just one person. I do know of one group that came over here as a squad, and they're getting to stick together as a unit, and that's basically the sort of thing they need. That's the sort of thing that works. Otherwise, it's just you know, throwing everyone together and doing a mixed bag of everything. So anyway, that's it for podcast tonight. I wanted to give everyone an update. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going home tomorrow. I will keep everyone updated on what's happening. I'll write some more stuff, and I'll let you know if I head back here soon. All right, thanks.